I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we hear from you in our Back Talk segment. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, Marcus Skelton, chairman of the D.C. Young Republicans, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and I'd like to welcome to the shop professor of finance Boyce Watkins. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Yo, thanks, Michelle. Fellas, welcome to the shop. How we living?
Hey, what's cracking?
Living good.
Doing good.
Well, yo, check this out. Senator Barack Obama, he laid out his plans for the presidential, for the country. Should he become president? This week he did that. Michelle, we got tape on that?
Yes, it was a half hour, I don't know what you want to call it, infomercial, I guess. It was
a half hour paid commercial
that ran on three of the four
major networks
and also some of the cable networks, too. And we can only, obviously, we can't play half an hour, but here's a short clip.
I'm reminded every single day that I am not a perfect man. I will not be a perfect president. But I can promise you this. I will always tell you what I think and where I stand. I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you when we disagree. And most importantly, I will open the doors of government and ask you to be involved in your own democracy again.
Marcus has tears in his eyes.
Oh, wow.
He's weeping. He's very moved.
Thank you, Michelle. It sounds like a Keith Sweat lyric. Yo, Helter Skelton, my man.
How's
welcome back to the shop.
I know you were all eyes
for the infomercial. What did you think?
Oh, of course. I mean, as a piece of cinema, it was awesome. I was sitting here with my mouth open now just talking about it. But if you look at what's going to happen after the election, I think it still comes back to, you look in the AP today, it said 1 out of 7 voters are still undecided after your 30-minute infomercial. I think it's important that he did that because he knows that he's having trouble and is a little insecure about closing the deal. And I think this is what it came down to. And if you look at ads in general, you're going to start to see more campaign ads towards the last couple of days of the election.
Speaking of closing the deal, I want to play this just briefly if I can. McCain's been running ads. Now, I think a lot of people would say that his campaign message has been kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. Is it about, what's this election really about? Is it about the economy? Is it about experience? He seems to be back to the experience theme in this ad, if we can play it. Here's a short clip of a McCain ad. I think this one is actually by the Republican National Committee, but you get the point. Here it is.
Drop.
Would you get on a plane with a pilot who has never flown? Would you trust your child with someone who has never cared for children? Would you go under with a surgeon who has never operated? Can you hand your nation to a man who has never been in charge of anything? Can you wait while he learns?
Arsalan has tears in his eyes for this one.
In a world. Scary. Hey, A-Train, my man, how did you read that?
Well, I read it just thinking, what the hell is he talking about? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he's Senator John McCain. He's Senator Barack Obama. You have a vice presidential candidate, you know, who doesn't even know that the vice president doesn't run the Senate. And, you know, she's content looking at Russia from the back porch of her house.
Well, she would argue she has executive experience, and this is an executive level position.
Right. Where's John McCain's executive level experience? Is it just being in the Hanoi Hilton for 5 years? I mean, is that in and of itself experience needed to become president of the United States? Are we going to make another,
Well, some people would argue that as a military leader, that is a position of leadership. It combines both sort of, I don't know, other people. What are other people
he's
thinking?
He wasn't really just a military leader. He's a bona fide war hero. Let's not forget that.
But being
that.
A war hero, I guess Arsalan's point is being a war hero the same as being a leader. It's clearly leadership, but it is executive administrative leadership.
And what makes him a war hero?
Dr. B, jump in here, man.
Yeah, what makes him a war hero? I mean, he was a POW, absolutely, and for that he should be honored. But was he really a hero? Was he really a leader? I mean, if you look at this man's record, it's not a record of extraordinary service to this country. He's not, say, George Bush Sr., who has shown leadership capability all throughout his life. It's more like George Bush Jr., who has been a man who has advanced through privilege and connections and things like that.
Oh, I don't think that's fair at all. I'm sorry. I don't see how you can say a person who turned down early release in order to who could have been released early, who could have saved himself years of brutality and chose not to do so in deference to people
That sounds heroic to me, bro.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I give him credit for that, but I have cousins who also did the same thing. Should they be president? Does that qualify them to be president? Not necessarily.
I take your point on whether it's qualification to be president, but I do not think that you can argue over the fact that this man is heroic.
I think the main point here again is that McCain's campaign has no idea where it is. It's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're trying to hack the hell out of Barack, trying to throw up their desperation threes. They're not talking about the issues. They're not talking about their mortgage plan that they just floated out there but then never followed up on. They're not talking about the economy and how they're going to help it. They're just going to launch into ad hominem attacks and smear tactics, which is not even kitchen sink politics. This is getting into toilet politics, and Sarah Palin is sitting on that toilet doing the dirty work.
Let's try to keep it nice in the shop. Marcus has something. Marcus definitely wants to roll in.
We are having a serious debate about the issues that are going on, the economy, and what's going to happen to America in the next couple of weeks, in the next couple of years. But, you know, we realize that our campaign speeches get blared out by 30-minute infomercials. So it's hard to have a conversation when you buy up all the airtime. But if you listen... if you listen to John McCain's speeches, you hear the issues being put out. Now, if you want to air a whole John McCain speech, that'd be great. I think it'd be a very exciting 30 minutes of television.
Raise some money. I just have to jump in really briefly to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Marcus Skelton, and Boyce Watkins in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. You know, speaking of McCain and kind of the ad wars, who's winning this ad war? Now, you know, it's really interesting to me. No disrespect to A-Train, because I know you're a resident Obama man, but you know Obama's ad kind of came off as a little too Ken Burnsian for me, and you know, it's a lot of sizzle, and I'm not too sure about the steak at this point. But you know, who's winning? Who do we think is winning the war?
You know what? We're actually speaking of sizzle and steak. Boyce wanted to talk about something that. was kind of on his mind about...
Okay, we'll bust it.
Go ahead, Boyce. You wrote a column earlier this week concerned about the fact that CNN now has this new Saturday night program, which is anchored by D.L. Hughley.
D.L. Hughley.
Yeah. What's up with that?
A.K.A. D.L. Fugly at this point, because that was just one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. You know, I'm always waiting for the day that black men, where we stand up and get it, but sometimes we just choose to step in and fetch it. And the reality was that what I saw on CNN was probably one of the scariest things I've ever seen on network television in the past 15, 20 years. No disrespect to the people who made the decision to put the show on the air, but I kept watching it. I literally did not believe that I was watching CNN. I kept looking at the bottom logo on the left-hand side of the screen thinking, okay, no, this is Saturday night doing a spoof of CNN. This isn't the real CNN. And it's no disrespect to DL. You know, I like the guy on a certain level, but I think that the way that whole show went down was incredibly disrespectful to not just the black community, but to really all Americans, and also to the Obama campaign.
Well, let me play a short clip, because I'm not sure everybody has seen it. So I'll just play you a short clip.
Look, DL, when it comes to home loan or mortgages, Freddie Mac has always had a simple philosophy. Green for the money, gold for the honey. As I've advised Warren Buffett, pimps up, hoes down. And your next move should be your best move.
Well, Jimmy, what about that? What do you think about that?
I think DL's joint hit all the worst notes imaginable. It was that Comic View, BET circa 1985 type humor. And it's the kind of humor that really, the kind of only race-based snaps that kind of works in the barbershop. It might work at the card game or at the corner bar, but not on cable television, B. Come on, DL. I mean, and what's upsetting to me is that he is a better comedian than that, and he's smarter than that. Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's smarter than that.
But is Arsalan actually liked it?
Well, I mean...
A-Train, word?
Well, hold on.
So,
he's been misquoted.
No, listen, hold on. Okay, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest. I was watching it, and I thought I was watching, you know, a kind of whack version of Chappelle. I agree with Boyce. I think it was all about the audience. I don't think it was a proper show to put on CNN. I think that it shows a great deal of you know, tone deafness on the part of both CNN and D.L. Hughley. If it was on Comedy Central, I think that the arena there, you know, might have put the show in a greater context. But, I mean, like I said, when I call it a whack version of Chappelle, I'd emphasize the whack part of that.
Well, speaking of tone, I have to ask you all about your boy, Mike Singletary, and his tirade.
Yeah, Chicago Bears.
What's up with that? I have to play a little bit of it. Here it is.
I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. We cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Ouch. I felt the pain.
Samurai Mike.
So what did you think? You're a Chicago man.
Well, you know, I mean, I remember Samurai Mike Singletary from the 85 Bears on the Super Bowl shuffle. And, you know, I think that, and you know, I think Marcus will echo this. You know, any person who's ever played sports before, you know, it's sort of an insider mantra. You never dog your own players out. You never dog your own team out in public. And especially when it's your first game coaching, you know, you had somebody, you know, who played middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, like one of the grittiest positions, you know, middle linebacker. And now you're going to elevate him to head coach. And so I don't think he's maybe fully made the disconnect yet between the persona and temperament you have to have as a player and the persona and temperament that you have to have as a head coach.
Jimmy, you liked it, right?
I thought he was on point. I mean, it's like whatever you got to say to motivate your crew. I mean, you do it. I mean, boys, help me out.
That's right. I mean, if anybody knows Mike Ditka, Mike Ditka and Mike Singletary, you remember back in the 80s, Singletary had those crazy eyes that was just maniacal. And he's a Chicago guy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you get out there, you play in the snow, the dirt, and the mud, and you make it happen. And so he's really laying down the gauntlet. People in sports respect strength, and he's laying out his strength. Now he just needs to balance that with intelligence and compassion. And the bottom line is winning. If he can win, then they will play by his rules. If he's not winning, then he'll be out of there as fast as he came in.
Marcus, what do you think?
Oh, I have a completely different opinion. I think it comes down to respect. And if you disrespect your player like that in public, Vernon Davis could not do the same thing. If he disrespected Mike Singletary like that, he would be cut or he would be fined. So I think Mike Singletary was wrong about that. He might be right in what he said, but that needs to be said behind the scenes. And that's the unspoken rule in any athletics. They teach you that in JV, that you don't talk bad about your players. Same thing. You need to carry that. You're not playing anymore. You're coaching. So you need to manage it the right way. You singled one player out, and now you're going to have to manage them. It's going to be tough.
See, this is why I'm glad I'm not a professional football player. I'd be crying. I'd have been crying. I'd be like, I'm really sorry, Coach Mike. I didn't really get that. Well, thanks, guys. A little tight in the shop today. I'm sorry about that. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. He joined us from our bureau here in Washington, along with Marcus Skelton, who's an advisor for a Higher Education Association. He's also chairman of the D.C. Young Republicans. And Boyce Watkins is a finance professor at Syracuse University. He joined us from our New York Bureau. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Go vote.
Yep, yep.